You to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to his good purpose. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure children of God, without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe, as you hold out the word of life, in order that I may boast on the day of Christ that I did not run or labour for nothing. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.
Amen. Come on up, Helen, let's just pray for you. This is our elder, as most of you know. And we're just going to pray. Come, Holy Spirit. Bless Helen and all actual presence upon her. And equip her to speak your word now. In Jesus' name. Amen. I've momentarily distracted by the
Can everyone hear me? Does that sound okay? That's okay, great. We'll just see. I've got a bit of a flimsy top on today as such, so lesson when you're doing this, don't wear a flimsy sort of top. Sorry, I haven't started yet.
Do not fear.
So this, we're coming towards the end of our motto text teachings. And we've been focusing on when Jesus goes away to a solitary place to be with God. And he's had a setback and he's going away to that place. And I wonder, since we've been starting this, whether actually you've managed to have better quality or longer quiet times with the Lord. I'm sure we'd love to hear from you and to be really encouraged by what God is doing in those times for you. Maybe through the sharing times that we have at church sometimes. Maybe over coffee, perhaps you could share with us, but it'd be wonderful to hear. For me, I don't know if you relate to the same, but I feel that you can get tossed and turned by different things and different priorities in life, and you sort of sometimes react from one thing to another. And in that time, I really need to take time out and have time with God. And quite often God reminds me of that. Praise God for the person who actually told me a couple of weeks ago the lovely verse in the Psalms which says, "Be still and know that I am God." And sometimes when there's so much noise going on in our lives, we need to come to that place where we can drown that out and we can focus on God. And in that space, we can give whatever was on our hearts to him. We can get off whatever's on our chests and we can get things into perspective. We can bring our fears, we can bring our doubts, we can bring our sin to him. And in that place, when we let God deal with it, he does that. He does it gently, he does it lovingly, and he deals with it. And praise God for that. The opposite is true. When I'm not in that place where I'm spending time set apart from God, I feel kind of hectic, and I try and control things, and I feel fearful, and I need to be reminded to be in that place again. And he gives us what he needs, doesn't he? Whether that's a hand on your shoulder saying, "I love you, I'm here for you," strengthening. He gives you the courage, he gives you what you need at that time. So I wonder what it's like for you. I wonder what it's like for you in those quiet times. And it would be really good to encourage each other as we do that. And so today I'm talking about fear. I asked Sam if I could preach on this because a while ago I listened to a sermon on fear. And before I listened to it, I didn't think I was fearful at all. I thought I was pretty chilled. And actually, when I listened to it, it sort of had quite an effect on me, really, because I realised that actually I was a pretty fearful person at times. And so I wonder if God will be talking to you as I speak today. Fear in itself is not a bad thing. So if you're in the middle of a jungle and a tiger comes upon you, then in that situation, you'll feel adrenaline rush, you'll feel the energy to put yourself in the best position to get out of the way of that tiger. So in itself, it's a natural feeling that helps you in certain circumstances. But as humans, we don't really face too many tigers in our everyday lives. We face everyday life. And so fear to us can actually be quite a negative thing that traps us, that causes us to be stuck. And God has a lot to say about fear. I don't know if anybody knows how many times in the Bible God says, do not fear or do not be anxious. It's a brilliant trivia question. 365 times, one for each day of the year. God knows that we're fearful people. He knows that we kind of trap ourselves sometimes in fear. And so he gives us that promise 365 times. It's so important. And sometimes every day we need to come to him and say, God, actually, I'm concerned about this. I need to give you this. Why does God say so much about it? Why does he care so much about fear? Well, I think that fear, at its worst, can easily rob us of our freedom in Christ. It can imprison us, it can hold us back, it can take away our joy and our peace, and it can change our pattern of behaviour for the worse. And sometimes we don't even realise it. Does it hold back our church? Well, yes, because if we as individuals are fearful, then as a church we're fearful as well. And sometimes I think we might forget who we are in Christ and therefore forget. What, you know, our place and what we're supposed to be doing. We're living in fearful times where fears and even phobias are not uncommon. A YouGov poll confirms that 58% of people are afraid of heights in some form or another. 56% are afraid of public speaking. About 52% of the population is afraid of snakes or spiders. And 43% of the population are afraid of being in confined spaces. And perhaps we ourselves can relate to one or more of these. But it was interesting because what the YouGov poll didn't do is talk about some of the other stuff, perhaps that we might more regularly feel on a daily basis. Fear over our financial situation and our job security. Fear over sickness or death. Fear in our relationships. I think fear transcends every single aspect of our lives. So what's causing you to be anxious and fearful right now? In some cases, perhaps it's really obvious. It's obvious because you know you've been carrying that fear for so long. So it's just part of everyday life. But for other things, it might actually be that you know you're not so aware of it. Sometimes you have to peel back the layers to see that there's actually an underlying fear thing there going on. And I think that's what I had to do in part. When I was listening to the word last year, I had to peel back those layers and think, actually, yeah, I'm quite fearful. So for me, actually, sometimes I'm a bit of a people pleaser. I have been in the past, and sometimes I have to just keep myself in check on that as well. My parents say that I used to sit in a buggy as a child, and they used to be going down the road, and I used to be sitting there smiling and waving at anybody who would wave and smile back at me. I don't know if that reminds you of any little person here, but if so, she takes after her mum. But I guess that sort of love of people, sort of wanting to please people, came into my adulthood as well. And in my 20s, I think actually I was really kind of running around concerned about what people thought of me, how people judged me. And actually I was trying to please everybody at the same time. And I realised that it was pretty impossible to do that. You can't please everybody. Everybody's got different agendas. And if we put our recognition into that, if we say that we're going to be recognised by how we think other people, what people think of us, then part of us will die every single time someone criticises us because we put our trust in that. It's like a shifting sand. It's never going to satisfy. But if we put our recognition in Jesus in that situation, then he's that solid foundation and he's that rock, and we can remain constant no matter what life throws at us. And that's what I had to learn. I had to get into the habit of coming to God in those quiet times and be reminded of who I am and that it's him who defines us and not anyone else. So what about you in that situation? Where do you get recognition from? Is it from God? Is it from other people? Is it a mixture of both? That's one for you to think about. Fear of failure is a big one, isn't it? And I sort of want to talk about that in a way. It's natural to want to be successful in life. That's sort of something that comes from within you. You want to be successful, but actually, sometimes our view of success deviates from what God's view of success is. We can get wrapped up in the media, in what everybody's saying, what people are saying to us, and we can suddenly, our view of what success is can become warped. What's God's view of success? Well, perhaps actually when it comes down to it, if you look at it, it's that he is ours and that we are his. Perhaps that is his view of success. He's done everything that he needs to in order for us to have a relationship with him. And so actually, particularly from my early days, but also, still sort of have to work on this a little bit sometimes, that I worked really hard in my career and I kind of put that first in many times over, especially when I was starting. And I think I haven't got the balance right. I kind of put the focus into that and I neglected other areas. And actually, you can run around generally, can't you? You can run around from thing to thing and then you suddenly can realise that perhaps your view of success and of what's important isn't actually important. And perhaps that our view, instead of thinking about having a fear of failure, maybe our focus should instead be succeeding at the stuff that doesn't really matter. The stuff that actually you can fill your life with, but it's not going to fulfill you. It's not going to keep you going and moving and being the best for your life in Jesus. And our past experiences are always so relevant as well, aren't they? They're so relevant. Perhaps stuff in the past has made, something that's happened to us in the past, a bad experience, has meant that going forward, we feel that we're going to fail again. And we've told ourselves that lie, that if we do that again, then we're going to fail at it. And it could be in any context, really. So it could be as simple as asking someone to church, asking someone to come to a service, or it could be telling somebody about Jesus. Perhaps there's been a bad experience, and we say we'll always have that bad experience. And I think God wants to challenge us on that today, that actually we don't need to let our pasts control our futures. It's a bit simplistic to say that in many respects, and I appreciate that. Sometimes there's situations which are so dark in our past that it really does shape and control our character. And fear sort of takes over, and actually that becomes part of our everyday life. And in that situation, perhaps fear is comfortable and we don't want to readily let that go. I personally can't appreciate just how strong the sense of fear would be in that situation, because I haven't had those experiences, those serious experiences that can shape you. But God does know. God does know what it's like to be you. He does know what it's like to be you. And he doesn't want us to be stuck in our past. He wants us to be released to live the way that God, that he intended. In those moments, we need to realise that God has overcome the world. It's that lovely passage in John chapter 16, verse 33. He says, In this world you will have trouble. We're all going to have trouble. We're going to live in situations of trouble. But he doesn't just leave us like that. He says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. And it's just what Sam was saying earlier. God is above all things. He's overcome all things. And sometimes we need to remember that. There's nothing that God gets stuck on. And sometimes we need to trust God more for our future. Because if we let fear reign in us, then it blocks out the space, some of the space that God's got to reign in us. If we let fear reign in us, it allows God less space to reign in us. The other verse which I find really encouraging on this subtopic is in Colossians chapter 1, verses 27. And Paul is mentioning Christ is in you, and it's the hope of glory. And I love that. You can remember it's in a song as well, isn't it? Christ is in you, and he is the hope of glory. That the God of all heaven is in us, and we can draw that strength from him. There's always hope. There's always hope, no matter where we are and what we're facing. God is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, present your requests to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Let's just break that down a bit. God is near. So he's nearer than we think. Sometimes we don't feel that he's near. We feel that he's far away, but he's near. He's closer than we think. And when we're feeling sometimes that he's a long way away, that's us. And we need reassurance. We need to go into that quiet place with God and be reminded that he's close. He loves us. He loves to be close to us. He's intimately involved in our lives. Do not be anxious. And I should clarify here that actually, I don't think God's saying here that don't be anxious at all. I don't think he's saying do not fear, because fear is a natural thing that we do and we will keep coming back to. But I think he's saying that we can choose to live by fear, or we can choose to hand our fears over to God and trust in him more. Are we going to live by fear, or are we going to live by faith as we trust him more? And when we do that, when we hand over our fears, God meets us in that. And he can neutralise our fears. God says, do not be anxious about anything. He's saying, I'm interested in the smallest and the biggest of things. I'm interested in everything. You can come to me and ask me to about anything. And if that's a fear, whatever it is, I will be there. And I'll be listening to you in that. We can give him our biggest things. And we can give him our smallest things. I was at the rugby match yesterday, not the international rugby match. I was actually at Plymouth Albion. And my fear is over getting people's names wrong or getting people's faces wrong. And in the past, actually, that shaped me quite a lot. Because I can remember having a conversation with somebody and completely mistaking him for a different person. And luckily, I think I just about got away with it in terms of the conversation I had. I walked away thinking, I've completely mistaken that person. And at the rugby yesterday, this lady, and she was called Verena, and unfortunately I misheard it, and I called her Marina. So forgive me if I get your name wrong. That's one of my fears. And I think God's okay if I say, God, please help me when I get people's names wrong. Please help me not to do that, and please help me to get people's faces right. And I think that actually, you know, there's many things that we can bring to God, whether it's small or whether it's large. By prayer and petition, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition. We need to put our fears in front of the cross in prayer, perhaps during our quiet times, perhaps in our ministry times. And it's when we're in that place that we can ask God for help. We can put that fear at the cross, You can say, God, I'm struggling with this. I can't. I don't want to struggle with it anymore. It's getting in the way. I can't do it my own way. I want to do it your way. When we do that, we put it at the cross. It's there that we're allowing God to work in us, and we're allowing God to take those things from us and replace them. And what does he replace them with? He replaces them with his peace. Or whatever else we need. But the peace of God. I don't know if you found the same, but when you're in time, when you're having that quiet time with God, that the peace is something so notable and distinguishable. And when you come away from that prayer time, you can still feel it. It's a bit like when you get a loaf of bread out the oven, it's got beautiful smells, and you devour that piece of bread. And that smell, that aroma is still there. And when you spend time with God, quite often the aroma that you still feel is that peace in your heart. That peace carries you through as you go forward. The Prince of Peace, his peace, is beyond all understanding in this world. It's indistinguishable, it's deep, it's nourishing, and it satisfies. It's a great sense of peace. And I wonder in some situations where there's people who need peace today, if you're thinking, if perhaps God's prompted you today and you're thinking, actually, I really need some of that peace. I really need some of that peace in my life. Then God is there, and he will meet with you in that, and he will give you his peace. He will give you his peace. And if you want to pray about it today, please do pray about it. Let's be bold and fearless and ask for prayer and pray for one another in this, that we say, God, I want to start this process of giving my fears to you. In some cases, it might be a case of something simple that you want to get off your chest, and God will meet you in that. In some cases where it's a big thing, God would love to start working in that with you. He'd love to do that. Maybe we need to be reminded of the verses in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30. I'm kind of jumping around the Bible today, but there's so many promises of hope. I think we need to hear them when we're dealing with this sort of subject today. You'll recognise it as, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I like it in the Message version best. Are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep my company. Keep company with me, and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Come to the one who has overcome the world. He's overcome the world, and he knows where you are and where your fears are. He understands your past, and he understands your future, and he's got a plan for your future. But we've got to kind of work with him in that, and we've got to allow him to work in our lives. It starts with prayer. There's, however, a fear that is the right kind of fear. And my talk's sort of called The Right Kind of Fear today. And that is the fear of God. And perhaps you've heard of the reference to the fear of God in the Bible before. The fear of God is referred to a number of times. And I think people misunderstand it quite a lot. It's not that God wants us to fear him. In terms, you know, he doesn't want us to fear him. We can approach his throne with confidence because of what he's done for us. And so actually fearing him for the sake of fearing him would be inconsistent with that. I mean, remember in the parable of the talents, there was the person who'd received the least number of talents was scared of his master, and he buried that talent in the sand. And that wasn't seen as being, that wasn't welcomed by God, by the master who's representing God in that scenario. He doesn't want us to be fearful for fear's sake. Instead, it's something different. It's an attitude of respect, of reverence, and of wonder. It's knowing that God is the creator of the universe above all things. And it's that that fits in beautifully with him being our friend and saviour. Both are healthy parts of our relationship with God. He's died for us personally, and he's a name above all other names. King Solomon was known for his wisdom in the Bible. God blessed him, it says, with an extra portion of wisdom, and he wrote the book of Proverbs. And this is what he says about the fear of God. The fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. It's the beginning of knowledge to recognise him as the God above all things, the Alpha and Omega. Because in that place, we can then be our best, to do our best for God, to recognise him as who he is, and to open up our hearts and our lives to him. And it's there that we will know that that's the beginning of knowledge, real knowledge that God gives. And the other Bible verse that Sarah started off with today is also on the similar lines, really. So Paul tells the church in Philippi to work out their salvation with fear and trembling. It's along similar lines to references to the fear of God. Paul's instructing the Philippian church to take care that they do not become complacent in their faith. To take care not to take what God and what he's done for granted. Instead, God wants us to treat our relationship seriously, our relationship with him seriously and with respect, and to do our part to nurture our relationship with God and to grow in him. And faith's a journey, isn't it? It lasts a long time, and sometimes we're closer to God than others. But in all things, God says, treat your relationship, let's value our relationship that we have with him, and let's work with him. Because relationship takes two people. God has done everything that he can, but he respects our will. And so he'll only go as fast as we'll let him. So perhaps it's for each of us to ask today, do I have the fear of God, or am I complacent about my faith? Do I take it for granted? Have I grown spiritually in the last 12 months? And if not, what's holding me back? Sometimes we grow more slowly, and other times there's a steep learning curve, but the invitation is always there to move forward in our relationship with God, to experience more of his glory and his holiness and his mercy and his transforming power in our life and his beauty. That's always open to us. Jeremiah 29, verse 13. Says, it's one of God's promises, that when we seek him with all of our hearts, there he'll be found. He promises, when we seek him with all of our hearts, he will be found. He's not a mystery, he's there, and he's there to be found. And so in our faith, in terms of the salvation, is not just for us Christians. I mean, he was addressing the Philippian church, but he talks about our salvation with fear and trembling. And so that would also apply if we don't yet have asked Jesus into our lives, that sometimes perhaps there's situations where someone might know God in their heads, but they don't know him in their hearts. They haven't invited him in yet. And it might be fear that's stopping that person from taking that step and to say, yes, Jesus, come into my life. I know my life will be transformed. I know it'll be radically different. I know that takes time. I've got lots of fears and anxieties, but I'm willing to put my trust in you. And sometimes we need to sort of give ourselves a bit of a kick and say, I'm going to do that. I'm going to be brave, and I'm going to give that to God. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, and he will receive it. And he'll be gentle and kind, but a new life will start with him, which is a wonderful life. I think that's really all I wanted to say today. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you that you're the God above all things. We thank you that you've overcome the world, that there's nothing that you haven't got control over. There's nothing that you're not above. And there's nothing you don't know about each of our lives, our fears, our insecurities and our worries. And Father, we pray that you may prompt our hearts and teach us a ways where we need to live less by fear and more by faith. We pray for your touch in our lives. We pray for your Spirit to touch our hearts now and to teach us areas where we need to grow in faith and in you. And we ask that in your name, Jesus. Amen.